Proclaim liberty throughout all the land and to all the inhabitants thereof. This is the Blessings of Liberty radio broadcast, and my name is Wynn Greer. I'm the pastor of the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church over just above the Willow Creek Golf Course over in Vilas, which actually is toward Fosco, which I've still not figured out. Vilas is a big, huge area in our county, and there's a lot of places that are in Vilas, but spread out. But anyway, it's good to be here today on this Tuesday, and Dave's not in here at the moment. I don't know if he's coming down or not, but my son Noah, he's in here and running the board and concentrating on that right now, and I'm trying to get everything situated. Right when we were coming in the radio station, I opened my door, and all of my materials fell out, and in the snow and the ice and the water, and so I've got on a little bit of a mess and wet papers and everything, but that's all right. They will dry out. But anyway, it is good to be here, and I appreciate the church supporting and the radio broadcast. And sometimes I fail to do this, but you know, just like last weekend, where a lot of churches didn't have church, tried to have church. Even those that did have church, I'm sure they had people that were not there because of the weather, getting out of driveways. You know, will your car go in the snow? Is it safe to get out in the low temperatures, just above freezing Sunday morning at my house, about 4 degrees? So maybe you couldn't get out and go to church last Sunday. And when you find yourself in that predicament, you can always, one option, there's many options, and I'm thankful for that, but you can always go to the internet. Mount Lebanon Baptist Church has a church website. It is mtlebanonbc.org, and you can go to sermons. You can go way back in 2010, and there's a lot of sermons on there, not just from me, but during our revival. Brother Jimmy Galgano's on there. We have missionaries and their testimonies. In fact, last Sunday morning, I know of at least a few that went there and had their church in their home, people that do not go to Mount Lebanon. So that's available for everybody. And I found a last July, I went to Alaska and the Bible Baptist Church in Fairbanks, and they have a website, and I listened to a message on Sir, We Would See Jesus from Pastor Brother Mark Rogers, and so that's a blessing to be able to do that. So I wanted to make you aware of that this morning and remind our listeners that that is available. Now, I have a mixed, I don't know, is it jambalaya that has all the different ingredients in it? That's what I've got for the radio broadcast this morning. I've had so many things going through my mind, and I'm just going to mention several and sort of lead back into last Tuesday's radio broadcast, what I was talking about over there, at which was the ruler's law versus the people's law. But one thing I wanted to mention in starting out today, I did want to talk just a moment on the subject of the shootings in Arizona and what took place there. And that's a tragedy, a national tragedy. I do realize that, and my heart, our prayers certainly go out to the families, the victims there. It's just a terrible, terrible tragedy. And it is something that no matter how many laws that you pass, no matter how much security you have, there are just some things that cannot be avoided, cannot be prevented. You cannot prevent crazy. And that's what the gentleman, the person, Loeffner, Jared Loeffner, for everything that I've read about him, it's not that he was right wing. It's not that he was left wing. It's not that he was prompted to do this by what the mainstream media at first tried to portray him as, a right winger, They tried to portray him in the very first hours after this tragedy as a Afghanistan veteran. He was never in the military. He was rejected from military service because he failed the drug test. But they portrayed him as a war veteran. They portrayed him as a right winger. They portrayed him as a disciple of Sarah Palin, and one liberal blogger tweeted and put "Mission accomplished, Sarah Palin. Hope you're proud," or something like that. And they demonized this from the very beginning, or tried to use this as a political tool to attack the right, to attack conservatives, to attack anybody that would basically show any type of dissent towards the government. And it's appalling that such a tragedy can be exploited and politicized to attack the very ideas that Ms. Giffords and many others so strongly believe in, and namely, that's the First and Second Amendments. I've read that Ms. Giffords, when Congress opened this last time, they read the Constitution. And Ms. Giffords, it was her, I don't know how they decided who was going to read what, but she read the First Amendment, and she was a supporter of the Second Amendment. And I find it an attack on every conservative person that the left would use this to call for a toning down of the rhetoric, for tighter gun control laws, for a constriction of our First Amendment rights. Bob Brady, Democrat from Pennsylvania, he's going to introduce a bill. I read about this yesterday. He plans to introduce a bill criminalizing the use of certain forms of threatening imagery against lawmakers and judges. All of this is an attack upon the First Amendment. The sheriff there in Arizona, Dupnik is his name, he came right out and said this was, and I heard what he said, but I don't have a direct quote of it today, but he said this was a, that the rhetoric needed to be turned around, that people on radio that talk about political things, you know, that they shouldn't be allowed to do that. But Ms. Giffords, when the Constitution was read, when the House opened this last time, or when Congress started back in January, she read the part of the Constitution, the Bill of Rights. She read the First Amendment. And I wanted to start out by reading that today. And the First Amendment says this: Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion, or prohibiting the free exercise thereof, or abridging the freedom of speech or of the press, or the right of the people peaceably to assemble. And that's what they were doing out there in Arizona. She had invited Congress on the corner. So she definitely believes in the First Amendment rights, the right of the people peaceably to assemble and to petition the government for a redress of grievances. We call that freedom of speech. And she was a very strong supporter, or is a very strong supporter, of the Second Amendment, which says this: a well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. And so I have been thinking a whole lot about this. I thought about it yesterday. I was thinking about it last night when I went to bed, when I woke up this morning. This call over and over again from the left: we need to tone down the rhetoric. And I got to thinking about that word rhetoric. What that word means, the definition of it, is the art of speaking with propriety, elegance, and force. It is a good argument. It's the other side is what rhetoric is: the art of speaking with propriety, elegance, and force. And there is a call from the left using this tragic event, which is in no way associated with the right or the left. This gentleman was, I don't believe he was associated with anybody. He was rejected from the military. He was kicked out of community college. He's a pot smoker. He's an atheist. He's got mental problems. But they call out and they say, well, we need more gun control. Well, he passed the He bought the gun lawfully. He lied, evidently, on the form, because every form is the same. It's called a form 4473 that across the whole United States of America must be filled out in order to obtain a firearm. And it asks questions about, are you mentally defective? Are you under, the supervision of a psychiatrist or something like that? I didn't bring one with me, but I've read it many, many times. And, of course, he lied about that. And you cannot, there are just some things you cannot prevent. No matter how many laws you have, no matter how many, much security there is. I read one thing that said that if Miss Giffords had been holding a gun in her hand, she probably wouldn't have been able to stop this. There's just the element of surprise that this deranged individual used, and it's a tragedy. And that's all you can say about it. I read last night the daughter of the 9-year-old little girl. His parents are being demonized by the left for saying that we don't need more constrictive laws. We don't need to use this as a platform to lose our liberties. And the left is attacking them and saying, well, what kind of parents would that be? And so I wanted to say just a little bit about that this morning. I think it is a tragedy in this country. But those of us that are for freedom of speech, conservative in our thoughts, this is used by the left to attack freedom of speech. And it's been all over the newspapers. And I am going to read just a couple of things this morning that I thought were significant. One, let me start before I read in the newspaper. Let me read a portion from God's Word, Isaiah chapter number 29. I want to read out of that this morning before I go any further and read anything out of the newspaper. But I want to read out of Isaiah chapter number 29. And let me just say this about the whole chapter, the very beginning of it. My Bible sort of gives a summary of the chapter, and it says, Isaiah chapter number 29, this is what it's about, God's judgment upon Jerusalem, verses 1 through 17, and then verse 17 through the end of the chapter, it says, a promise of better things in succeeding times. So first of all, in the first part of this chapter, God tells the children of Israel how he is going to judge them. And then in the second part of the chapter, after the judgment is over, there are better things, better days ahead. But beginning in verse number 17, 18, it's talking about when the Messiah shall come, the Lord Jesus, and set up his kingdom upon this earth. Things are going to be made right. And it goes on and it says, verse 19, the meek also shall increase their joy in the Lord, and the poor among men shall rejoice in the Holy One of Israel. This is talking about when Jesus comes back and sets up his kingdom upon this earth. Verse number 20, for the terrible one is brought to naught, that is the Antichrist. He is going to be defeated, and the scorner is consumed, and all that watch for iniquity are cut off. This is referring back to the former time, this prophecy. He's referring back to those who were opposed to Christ, his enemies. And it tells about a day when the Lord shall reign, and what we refer to as the scorner or the politically correct, those, oh, you can't say anything about anything. This is what this passage of Scripture is talking about. It said, and all that watch for iniquity are cut off, that make a man an offender for a word, and lay a snare for him that reproveth in the gate, and turn aside the just for a thing of naught. The politically correct, the mentality in society that would promote and say, certain types of speech ought to be outlawed. You shouldn't be able to use certain symbols. You shouldn't be able to say certain things. You need to tone down the rhetoric. Well, the only people who are saying that are those who are on the side of the left. And what it's talking about here are those who would make a man an offender for a word. The word offender is a term that is legally used for criminals. A criminal offense. to be a criminal, to be an offender, used more years ago than now. But if you read in literature, and you know what I'm talking about this morning, to make a man an offender for a word, to make a man a criminal because of something that he says. And says also, and lay a snare for him that reproveth in the gate. The person that reproves in the gate is the person who the word reprove there means to be right. That is to be correct, to argue. Somebody that uses rhetoric or a good argument for the other side. These people are made criminals. And it's talking here about, you can use a anybody that stands up for the truth, whether that be a politician, whether that be a preacher, whether that be a head of a family, anybody that stands up and makes a cause for right and says this is right and this is wrong. It's talking about those who would come along and make those people criminals. And this is why we need to be very careful in our country that free speech remains and is not, there's not laws passed like there is in Canada and other countries. They call it hate speech, but really it's any speech that is a dissent of government and its ways. And so they tried to use this to paint the right, the conservative, the Christian, the Tea Party goer, the patriot, right on down the line, is evil and causing this, but nobody caused this other than, I guess you could say, the devil caused it. And I seen pictures yesterday where Mr. Loeffner had a voodoo shrine set up in his backyard, a tent and skull and dried oranges. And I have a friend who was a missionary in the country of Trinidad, where there is a large number of voodoo and witchcraft and black magic, and this is part of their rituals to leave offerings to their false gods, which is to the devil, in fact. And so this guy, there's no telling what he was caught up in, but he certainly wasn't, he sort of lived in a world of his own, and you can't blame the right, you can't blame the left. He said in one video I seen that he would not trust in God. He was offended when he was given a Bible at the MEP station when he tried to join the military. Of course, they rejected him, but somebody tried to give him a Bible, and it made him mad. I wanted to read what our Congresswoman, Miss Virginia Fox, said in yesterday's newspaper about this, local lawmakers on public official safety and the national political debate. I thought what she said was very good. She said, I don't think members of Congress incite that kind of rhetoric. I don't think the things we say incite that kind of behavior, and I don't know that the things other people say incite it. I just think we have deranged individuals in this country, and occasionally they do bad things. This guy appears to be a communist. His beliefs are the liberal of the liberals. There's no evidence whatsoever that this man was influenced by Sarah Palin or anybody in the Republican Party. This man is not a conservative. He's a fan of communism. That's the opposite of conservatism. And so I thought that was a very good point, and I wanted to mention that this morning. We need to be very careful when people start talking about we need to pass more laws, we need to restrict more freedoms. And I read in the Winston-Salem Journal this morning, there is a chairman of the Forsyth County Republican Party, Nathan Tabor. He said this: on both sides, there are people who say and do things that aren't right. Tabor said, the problem on the left is they don't believe they ever do anything wrong. It's not just one side's fault, it's both. And I would say this particular instance is neither side's fault, but I thought that's a very good point he made. The problem on the left is they feel like they never do anything wrong. And so just wanted to say a few things about that, and our prayers certainly go out to the victims, and we pray for a recovery for the for Miss Giffords there, and certainly for her family and all those involved, not just her, but those who were killed as well. I wanted to say just a little something else this morning. In the county, there has been several churches that have received letters from a group. I don't have one of the letters. I wish I did. I've heard enough about it to say that the man behind it all is a Mr. Harold Camping, and he is predicting, and this group is going around with letters and all of these things saying that the rapture is going to happen or the world is going to end. Jesus is going to come May 21st, I believe. And I've read a little bit about this for a couple of months now, and I just want to say a couple of things about that this morning. As well, and I know this is just sort of a few different subjects all thrown into one this morning, but I thought as a pastor I wanted to address this, and I want to say first of all about setting dates. Jesus himself in Matthew chapter number 24 and verse number 36, Jesus himself in the Bible, this is all you need to know about anybody who would set a specific date for the coming of the Lord. Now, I read in the Bible and I see many signs that surely his coming is soon and we're living in the last days, and even this push for more control by government, restriction of freedom of speech, what is happening with the currencies of the world, all these things. We could go to the Bible this morning and say, look, this is going to happen. But I don't have time to do that. But I just want to say, in respect to the specific prophecy, I guess he is making, that Jesus is going to come on May 21st. And I read an article about this, and some of the followers were saying, well, the Bible says this, the Bible says this. But they never gave any Bible where this says this, that Jesus is coming May 21st, 2011. But Jesus said in Matthew 24 and verse number 36, Matthew chapter 24 and verse number 36, this is all you need to know when somebody sets a specific date for the coming of the Lord. Jesus said, but of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. He said the only one that knows when this is going to happen is the Heavenly Father. That's what the Lord Jesus said in Matthew 24 and verse number 36. He goes on down and says, but as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark. They were unconcerned. They were living, if you study in Genesis chapter 5 and chapter number 6, they were living immoral lives in the days of Noah. So we can get some idea of what it's going to be like before the Son of Man comes. People are going to be living and carrying on and not really worried about God or what he thinks or says. It said, knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. The majority are going to be unprepared and not looking for the coming of the Lord, and that's where we are as well. I always think about verse number 44, therefore be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not the Son of Man cometh. When people are not looking for the Lord, that's when he is going to come, and I believe we have an abundance of that today, people not looking. Now, let me say about Mr. Camping, Harold Camping. If you do a internet search, you can find out all you need to know about him. But you'll find that he also said that this was going to happen in 1994. Well, here we are. It's 2011. In fact, today is 01112011. So it's a unique day in our history. There have been days like that before. I thought this morning, well, there was 01111111 once upon a time, and everybody knows what happened then in the year 1111. Well, I don't know what happened. I'm just saying. I'm saying, you know, just because dates line up doesn't mean there's anything significant about that. But Mr. Camping said that Jesus was going to come in 1994. Well, Jesus did not come again in 1994. And so I thought about Deuteronomy chapter number 18, where it talks about the Lord will raise up a prophet. And this is talking about Jesus coming in his first coming as the Messiah. Deuteronomy chapter 18 and verse 15, the Lord thy God will raise up unto thee a prophet from the midst of thee, of thy brethren, like unto me, unto him ye shall hearken. That's talking about the coming of Christ. And then it goes on down in Deuteronomy chapter number 18, and it talks about what happens if a prophet makes a prophecy and it doesn't come to pass. This person is a false prophet. And I say about Mr. Camping, he is a false prophet because he made a prophecy that Jesus would come in 1994. Jesus did not come in 1994. This man is a false prophet. Here's what the Bible has to say about somebody like that. Verse 19, it said, "And it shall come to pass that whosoever will not hearken unto my words, which he shall speak in my name, I will require it of him. But the prophet which shall presume to speak a word in my name, which I have not commanded him to speak, or that shall speak in the name of other gods, even that prophet shall die." God says there's a curse upon him. "And if thou say in thine heart, how shall we know the word which the Lord hath not spoken?" How should we know? How are we to tell what God says? If a man comes along and says, God says this, how do we know if this person is true? That's what they're asking there. Verse 22 says, "When a prophet speaketh in the name of the Lord, if the thing follow not, nor come to pass, that is the thing which the Lord hath not spoken." So God in his word says, if a man makes a prophecy in my name and it doesn't come to pass, God said, I didn't say that. That's what that verse is saying. "But the prophet has spoken it presumptuously, thou shalt not be afraid of him." So I say to all those that have gotten letters, and it's my understanding that this group is coming around to churches while churches are having church, and they're putting letters on people's windshields. And it's happening in several churches, especially in the western side of the county. I'm not sure how many or if it's affected other areas, but I say, what is my response to this? They are, Mr. Camping is definitely a false prophet. Those who follow him need to look into God's word. They're deceived. They're following a false prophet. So I wanted to deal with those two subjects today. And also, if I had time, I was going to get back into the subject that I left off last week, where we're talking about the subject of our country, civil government in America, a biblical perspective with a historical and a present application. And that's what we've started off in this new year. Last week, I was talking about ruler's law versus the people's law, and I certainly will not have time to get in that today. But let me just give you a few things, just a few random thoughts as we're closing this morning. First of all, I want to encourage everyone not to just take what I say or some other preacher or anybody on TV or radio or the computer. Be like the Berean Christians were. In Acts chapter number 17, Paul talks about the Bereans. And when Paul had went and preached unto them, he said these words. He said, "These were more noble than they in Thessalonica, for they searched the word daily whether these things were so." So whenever you hear me, whenever you get a letter from Mr. Camping or whoever it might be, whenever you see anything on the television, this news and things, study it out for yourself. Take the tools that we have in this day and time. See what the Bible has to say about it. See what somebody besides ABC, NBC, Fox, all of these, they are owned by huge, huge corporations. There's so much money involved. It's very hard when so much money is involved to be pure. Find several different news sources. One that I read quite often, and I certainly do not recommend everything they say, but just to get a different view other than the state-sponsored view I get from the mainstream media, I look in a website called WorldNet Daily. That's WND.com. That is a Christian-based website. And there's another one called InfoWars, InfoWars, InfoWars. And I read a lot of their things, and it's very eye-opening. So take advantage that we have the freedom to know what's going on in the world and to speak our mind, and I'm very thankful for that. We've got about 30 seconds. Let me invite you, Lord willing, this Sunday we'll have church at Mount Lebanon Baptist Church. I'd like to invite you to come out, and we just started a new study in the book of Colossians, and I really believe it's going to be great, and God's going to use it to speak to his people. So on Wednesday nights at 7 o'clock, we'd love for you to come out, prayer meeting, and be with us. Our time is gone today. Come listen next week. Have a good day. God bless you.